This is 5 O'Clock Shadow on the Pacifica Radio Network, originating at WBAI. In today's program, a Senate Solon is snared by security at a Tennessee airport. Senator Rand Paul was kept off a plane because of complications during a security scan. We'll be addressing that incident and the overreaching issues that surround a regime of security at the nation's airports, soon to be appearing at the nation's trains and buses as well. We'll be speaking live with James Babb, the founder of the We Won't Fly Coalition. This is 5 O'Clock Shadow on the Pacifica Radio Network. I'm Robert Knight in New York. The Transportation Security Administration and the Department of Homeland Security have been involved in a number of actions that have raised some eyebrows. Not so long ago, the late Senator Ted Kennedy was placed on a no-fly list, erroneously, as also was placed Cat Stevens, Yusuf Islam, the singer. Those exceptions went into new territory when Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky was detained by TSA at a Tennessee airport, where he was erroneously flagged by the scanning device. According to the Associated Press, Senator Paul was stopped at the Nashville airport when a scanner set off an alarm and targeted his knee. He said that he had no screws or medical hardware around the joint. He asked for another scan to verify that, but refused to submit to a pat-down by airport security. He said that he was detained at a small cubicle and could not make his flight to Washington for a Senate vote scheduled later in the day. A spokesperson for TSA said that there was an incident, but did not identify the passenger as Senator Paul, saying, quote, "When an irregularity is found during the TSA screening process, it must be resolved prior to allowing a passenger to proceed to the secure area of the airport." The senator went through a millimeter wave machine using an outline of a body for passengers, but Senator Paul said that he had no idea why his knee raised concerns with TSA. He showed it to the security agents and said that he had no medical hardware. He said, quote, "There is no problem, just a problem with their machine. But this is getting more frequent, and because everybody has to have a pat-down, it is a problem." He said that he was not counting on his immunity as a member of the United States Senate, saying that this is a problem for all Americans who are traveling by air. And according to the Department of Homeland Security, TSA agents will soon be appearing at buses and trains as well across the country. The White House backed up the operations of the Transportation Security Administration and made this statement just a short time ago.
And then another non-State of the Union issue. As you may have heard, Senator Rand Paul had an incident today at the Nashville Airport with the TSA. His father, Ron Paul, has issued a statement saying the police state in this country is growing out of control, and one of the embodiments of this is the TSA.
Well, what I can tell you is that when an irregularity is found during the TSA screening process, it must be resolved prior to allowing a passenger, any passenger, to proceed to the secure area of the airport. Passengers who refuse to complete the screening process cannot be granted access to the secure area in order to ensure the safety of others traveling. And let's just be clear, the passenger was not detained. The passenger triggered an alarm during routine airport screening but refused to complete the screening process in order to resolve the issue. Passengers, as in this case, who refuse to comply with security procedures are denied access to the secure gate area. In this case, the passenger was escorted out of the screening area by local law enforcement. It's my understanding he is now rebooked and passed through security without incident, and that is resolved itself. So that,
from his father.
I think it is absolutely essential that we take the necessary actions to ensure that air travel is safe, and I believe that's what TSA is tasked with doing. I don't have a specific response to that statement. I would refer you to TSA.
The White House earlier today, this is 5 O'Clock Shadow, and at the nascent days of this investigative news, magazine, there was also the creation of another institution very much concerned about the TSA procedures, and that is the We Won't Fly Coalition. The organization says, "We want real passenger security. We are committed to real passenger security that does not trample our basic human dignity and privacy. We will settle for nothing less than the abolition of the TSA. Passenger security efforts, in order to remain credible, must be decentralized and agile, just like the threats." And during those early days of 5 o'clock Shadow, we spoke with James Babb, the co-founder of WeWon'tFly.com, and he now joins us live today. Welcome back, James.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
First of all, what is your reaction to this latest incident at airport transportation security checkpoints that in this case snared a senator, but I think probably have inconvenienced tens, if not hundreds of thousands of American passengers?
It does impact hundreds of thousands of passengers, and I'm glad that a celebrity, a famous politician has brought some light to this, but this is something that Ritter people have been enduring without remedy for quite a while now. No one is safe in those airports, not our children, not our grandmas. No one is safe, and I hope Rand takes his experience, and I think that, you know, I'd love to see him apply this in a positive direction. He needs to put some legislation to repeal the TSA right away.
One of the problems is that at the airport, there is, I guess, a sense of overriding security superiority, where there is very little leeway for challenging or explicating the law when a snap judgment is made or a punitive judgment is made. Is there any clarity or uniformity about the procedures of whether one goes through the millimeter scan, which basically denudes the human body on the imaging system, or the pat downs or the x-rays? Is there any way that a person can be guaranteed their rights without losing property, possessions, or the right of passage?
Well, you know, that would be great, wouldn't it, if we could actually fly without submitting ourselves to nude photography and radiation and gropings. Certainly, as human beings, we have that right. Now, getting up for that right is, you know, can be a little hard. Rand Paul, really, he's got no business even submitting to the radiation. Every one of us should be considered innocent until proven guilty. They have no search warrant. They've got no business under our clothes when we have no suspicion whatsoever. We haven't been accused of a crime. We're not suspects. We need to be treated like human beings, innocent until proven guilty.
James, the obvious question to counter the point that you've just made is, what about security? What about keeping people from bringing weapons and munitions and explosives and dangerous devices onto aircraft?
Well, I think security is important, and is not what the TSA is providing. Their radiation search and their gropings haven't uncovered a single terrorist. What actually are the traditional metal detectors, and most often it's the vigilant passengers themselves that have thwarted any terrorist attempt. So what we need to, you know, focus on terrorists, not on humiliating travelers. So I think what they've created is actually worse than no security. It's a false sense of security. Even the creator of the TSA, John Mica in Florida, he calls what they're doing a big kabuki dance. He wants to dismantle the monster that he built. So we need to listen to what people are saying. If we want good security, it can't be centralized. It's bureaucratic. It can't be one size fits them all. It has to be flexible and adaptable.
One of the reasons this story gains traction today is because Senator Paul is not of Arab appearance or naming or of a darker hue. There have been a number of complaints about racial, ethnic, and cultural and national profiling. The many people who are advocates of the TSA and various related procedures of Homeland Security say that they're following the brave and bold example of the nation of Israel in the way that they isolate people who are out groups from the dominant cultural group there. But Israel is not the United States. This is described as a nation that is a melting pot where citizenship and participation is guaranteed to people of many different cultures and backgrounds and colorations and hues and languages. So are you concerned at all about selectivity of enforcement and potential racism?
Everyone has the right to be secure in their persons. And it doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter what your skin color is, religion is. We're all human beings, and we have the inherent right as people to travel with dignity, to move about freely, to be left alone, to not be photographed nude, to not be abused for what they consider to be a privilege to travel. So, I'm concerned about it. Some people think that, oh, we shouldn't all be hassled. We just want to hassle groups. Well, I think that's a mistake. And even Rand Paul's suggestion to have a frequent traveler program, I also believe is flawed. What I've seen so far as ideas for frequent programs, it's really a pre-abused traveler program where we might be asked, say, we're not going to fondle you at the airport, but let's just get a ground check on you now. Submit your credit references, your pay stub. Maybe we'll look at your Facebook friends, analyze your associates. Then we'll decide if we're going to abuse you or not. I find that also an atrocious invasion of privacy.
The behavior of transportation access raises disturbing questions about treading on the First Amendment, which many people associate primarily with free speech, but it also involves freedom of association, which I would presume implies the right to travel, to engage in those associations. Common carriers have certain rules that there should be uniform access for all people. Do you see this constantly infuriating dilemma with the behavior of the Transportation Security Administration as being part of a greater divergence between United States law enforcement and constitutional protections?
Absolutely. The very existence of the TSA is an affront to the Constitution and the principles of its founders. There's nothing in there that says, you have these rights in the Bill of Rights. There's no clause that says, except if you want to get on an airplane. It's ridiculous to think that anything that the TSA is doing would be permitted under the Constitution. Really, what the TSA is doing is specifically prohibited on multiple accounts, not only by the Bill of Rights, but Article 1 guaranteed representatives in Congress free mobility to get to a vote. So they really screwed up today with Rand, but I think everybody should have that privilege, not just senators. So it's a good reason to just abolish the TSA. I'd like to see it turn up as a debate question. Maybe it will now that that Rand Paul is involved. I think this needs to be out there. It needs to be discussed, and we need it.
Representative Ron Paul of Texas, the contender for the Republican presidential nomination, actually reiterated his statement today that he would abolish or move to abolish, if he were elected president, the TSA. And what is your feeling about that particular declaration? And do you see a way that there is a common ground for those who may not agree with the conservative or libertarian politics of those who at the same time express freedom of interstate commerce and Congress? How do you see there being a pan-political gathering of politics for these rights?
Well, that's a good question, and I really don't have a lot of faith in politics myself. I certainly admire Dr. Paul, and he's the one with the correct position when he says we're going to abolish it. I don't know why the others don't have that view as well. Supposedly, the Democrats are supposed to be civil liberties. You know, why aren't they outraged? Why aren't they demanding that their representatives and their president put an immediate halt to these violations of our liberty? Conservatives, are supposed to honor family values. I don't see what's, how do you put family values together with government agents putting hands in your children's pants? It just doesn't make sense to me at all. So I don't, you know, I believe that principled people of political persuasions should be coming together on this issue. I believe that people, you know, there's a question of what security is right for each person. I think they have the right to choose for themselves what security they like. If someone wants to pick a scope and grope airline where everybody flies nude and gets a full prostate, be my guest. But the rest of us want to travel with dignity. We shouldn't have that forced upon us. We should all have a choice.
What about the health effects? One of the things that some have expressed concern about is whether or not one person from one X-ray or 1 millimeter scan develops cancer. Epidemiologists say that regardless of who it is, there will be an increase because of the excess radiation that accumulates over a population, if not that particular individual. Do your concerns include health consequences?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, we don't know how big that risk is, because the TSA has prohibited independent tests. They throw out numbers, and then they change them, and they throw out one set of numbers, and they say, I'm sorry, it's actually 10 times that. That was an honest mistake. But they said, don't worry, it's safe. It's still safe. They do give out the specs for analysis, and based upon their own numbers that they give out, it is clear that people will die of cancer as a result. To them, it's acceptable loss. It's a small percentage chance. However, when you're talking hundreds of millions of trips through these things, there is a cumulative effect. And if you understand probability, a very small percentage times a very large number will, you know, end up in results. Surprisingly, more people will probably die from the scanners than from terror. That's the sad part of this. They think we're doing this for safety. The result is going to be more death.
And we're speaking with James Babb, co-creator of the website WeWon'tFly.com, which is dedicated to these issues of dignity and security and freedom at the nation's airports. And James, you know, the TSA is now planning to take its traveling road security show to the nation's buses and trains as well. Does that concern you?
It's a very big concern. And they call them, I play Viper teams, and they're slithering into train stations and bus terminals and highway checkpoints around the country. All I can say to travelers is just don't cooperate. No one has any reason to cooperate with these people. If you see a TSA checkpoint highway, go the other way. On the train station, just say, I'm sorry, I don't talk to people like you. You know, there's no reason to cooperate. They do strict obedience, so our response has got to be disobedience. We just, there's no reason to cooperate with those people at all. And what an affront. I mean, it's been an...
Because it is one's right to opt out.
Yeah. Well, now soon they're going to say, well, hey, you know what, if you don't, you know, they've always said, hey, if you don't like it, they just don't fly. Okay, well, it's good advice, even if I don't like it. What are they going to say? Well, hey, if you don't like it, stay in your house. Don't walk down the sidewalk. Don't go down the road. Don't take a train. Don't take a bus. That's no way to live.
Take your ball and stay home. And finally, James, the website, WeWon'tFly.com, it's been 1 1/4 Thanksgivings ago that you created this online movement and occasional public protest and such. Can you tell us how it's going? What's the past year been like, and what kind of growth and participation do you anticipate moving forward?
Well, it's been an incredible year, about a year and a half or a year and a quarter. We never imagined that it would have grown this big, but the public is absolutely out about this. Even if it's not a subject during Republican debates normally, it's a continual news item. People are fed up. One thing that I did hear from the U.S. Travel Association, they estimate that the security theater is costing the travel industry $85 billion a year. People that are saying, no, I'm just not going to travel anymore. There's an enormous amount of optional travel that's just not happening now. I'm not taking a plane. I know thousands of other people that have said the same thing. We're just not going to fly until safe for our families.
More information can be had with a visit to the website wewontfly.com. That's wewontfly.com, the website co-founded by James Babb, our live guest today, and George Donnelly. And I thank you for keeping us and bringing us up to date on this today.
It's my pleasure.
This is 5 O'Clock Shadow. I'm Robert Knight in New York. Now a little bit deeper background on the antecedents to today's incident with Senator Rand Paul, who was detained at TSA, escorted out of the airport by local police in Tennessee, and eventually was allowed back in after a wrongful reading from a TSA millimeter scanner. On the 22nd of June, 2011, Rand Paul took part in Senate Homeland Security hearings on the very issue of the behavior of the Transportation Security Administration.
Currently, the invasive pat-down searches are random and not based on risk assessment?
No, actually, they are based on intelligence that we know specifically from Christmas Day, Abdul-Mateeb, and the way he concealed that device. There are some random pat-downs, if that's what you're referring to, but it is based on the intelligence.
Right. So I guess this little girl would be part of the random pat-down. This is a little girl that from Bowling Green, Kentucky, one of my constituents. They're still quite unhappy with you guys, as well as myself and a lot of other of America that thinks you've gone overboard and you're missing the boat on terrorism because you're doing these invasive searches on six-year-old girls. The same week that this happened, I got a call from another neighbor of mine in Bowling Green. A little boy had a broken foot and crutches. They didn't want to go through all the screenings, so they took the crutches off and the cast, and he wanted to hobble through on his broken foot, and his dad was helping him. TSA said, back away, back away. Then he had to go through the special search because he had previously had a cast on, even though the cast went through the belt. When the dad comes close, they say, back away, back away. If you don't back away, you won't fly. This kind of gets back to this whole idea of, you know, what are we willing to do? What are we willing to give up as a country? In your interview with ABC News, you said, I see flying as a privilege. Well, there are those of us who see it otherwise, the Supreme Court included. In Sienz versus Roe in 1999, says that although the word travel is not found in the text of the Constitution, yet the constitutional right to travel from state to another is firmly embedded in our jurisprudence. Justice Stewart went on to say in Shapiro versus Thompson that the right to travel is so important that it is assertable against private interference as well as governmental action, a virtually unconditional personal right guaranteed by the Constitution to us all. Now, this isn't to say we don't believe in safety procedures, but I think I feel less safe because you're doing these invasive exams on the six-year-old. It makes me think you're clueless, you know, that you think she's going to attack our country and that you're not doing your research on the people who would attack our country. It absolutely must involve a risk assessment of those who are traveling. And the fact that she's being patted down and I don't feel comfortable really with your response that we're no longer doing, we may be doing some risk assessment, we're still doing random pat-downs. I think you ought to get rid of the random pat-downs. The American public is unhappy with them. They're unhappy with the invasiveness of them. The internet's full of jokes about the invasiveness of your pat-down searches. And we ought to really just consider, is this what we're willing to do? The other thing is that while we're doing that, there's examples where we've had letdowns. When Faisal Shassad got on the plane, the alleged Times Square bomber, he was on the watch list. Everybody said, oh, it was the airline that let us down. Well, he had to go through TSA screening. TSA screening, it wasn't a long time, but there were 10 hours, and we ought to be able to react. His name was on the watch list, and he went right through TSA. I mean, is the TSA looking at flight manifest? Are you doing background research of people getting off and on planes? Are we targeting who we're looking at that might attack us? I really get the idea that because our approach is so politically correct that it has to be so universal, six-year-olds and 90-year-olds and people in wheelchairs. You know, you probably saw in the newspaper the other day the young man who's mentally handicapped who had a plastic hammer. because you're telling people to fit this in a box and do this, tell your agents to do this, they took away something that the boy had had for 29 years. And if you've ever dealt with a child with autism, there are certain things that comfort them and keep them calm. And to do that is just, it really just shows that no one's thinking. They're given this rote automaton message to crack down, pat people down, do this, and that if we're not thinking about catching terrorists, I mean, it should be about police work. I mean, most of these people have, police work would catch them. The hijackers who came here were overstaying their welcome. They were on student visas, but they weren't going to school. We need to be doing better police work and less of the universal giving up of our freedom to live our life the way we'd like to live our life. But I'd like you to comment a little bit about the right to travel as a privilege and then a little bit about the idea of the universality of insult that we're being given versus targeting this towards people who might attack us. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Senator. You've raised a number of important issues. Let me try to take them in order. In terms of the pat down of the 6-year-old, that, of course, is something that is done based on intelligence that is gathered from around the world, not as to a specific individual. But if there is an anomaly detected or for some reason the resolution can't be done, other than through a pat-down, that's what's done. Unfortunately, we know that terrorists have used children under 10 or under 12 years old as suicide bombers in other locations, not in aviation, but there's been 2 10-year-olds used. We also know the 2 grandparents, one grandmother, one grandfather, 64 years old in both situations, have been used as, or they have chosen to be suicide bombers. So it is informed by the intelligence. I agree with you. We need to be smarter in how we go about doing things. We need to use some more common sense. When TSA was stood up nearly 10 years ago, it was given a mission, don't let this happen again. And the men and women of TSA have taken that very seriously. What I hope to be doing under my tenure in Secretary Napolitano, what we are working on is this risk-based security initiative to say, yes, let's take what we know, some of the passenger manifest information, especially those who are willing to share information with us, so we can make better judgments, better informed decisions as to this particular person, what risk do they pose, and so how can we expedite their screening if they are not seen as a risk. So we're doing a number of things. I'd be glad to provide some more detailed briefings to you in a closed setting on that.
Right, and just one follow-up on that. I mean, 10 years is a long time. We've been a decade now. We don't have a frequent flyer program. We don't have a trusted traveler program. I don't want this to be against the TSA. I know most of the agents, and I think they're good people. But at the same time, you know, they're wasting their time. All these congressmen and senators go back and forth. But to be so fair, we got to search all of them. We know them by name a lot of times, and we're getting the same pat-down search as everybody else's, to be fair. But so are the frequent travelers. My brother-in-law is on 2 or 3 planes a week. He's an Air Force grad. He's, unlikely, really. He's not a terrorist, okay? And so we're wasting time on all these people. But I really think, as far as the privacy issue, let a private company and encourage a private company. There were beginnings of this. Well, let's turn it over. Let's have a frequent flyer program that you can voluntarily participate in. But let's get it done. Thank you.
Senator Rand Paul, in a Senate Homeland Security hearing of the 22nd of June, 2011, a foreshadowing of today's incident of temporary detention at a Nashville airport of Senator Rand Paul, who was en route back to Washington for a Senate session. This is 5 o'clock shadow, and in the earliest days of this program, that issue was brought to your attention, and one of the things that was presented on the 24th of November, 2010, Thanksgiving and a quarter ago, was a different approach by a group of people who said that they would prefer not to have the X-ray scans and the millimeter waves and would prefer that they opt out of the electronic or the radiative therapy and insist on having a manual pat-down. So here is a different approach to the issue of the ubiquitous TSA scans from the creators of the website NationalOptOutDay.com, which engaged Thanksgiving ago in a national protest against the procedures.
I have been reading story after story about just the degrading screening that passengers, pilots, flight attendants were going through. You know, if they bought a plane ticket and suddenly they're consenting to somebody looking under their clothes or feeling them up, for lack of a better term. I mean, some really aggressive pat downs. know, I created this site as a way for folks to come together, to coalesce around one day, and if you're flying that day, say, I opt out. I'm not going through those x-ray machines. I'm not going through the virtual strip search. I'm opting out. TSA gives you the right as a passenger to not go through those machines, to opt out and get the pat-down. Now, the pat-down is not going to be, you know, pleasant experience as well from what you read and what you hear. And, you know, it's more aggressive than ever. But, you know, at least you can look somebody in the eye then. You can get a good name if something happened. And at least you feel a little bit more in control. But, you know, they're tying our hands here. We don't have a good option either way. And we really need this to change. So I'm hoping folks will opt out and we'll send a message to Congress. And folks will write their lawmakers and demand change on this.
On your website, optoutday.com, you have instructions for people to assert their rights at an airport screening. What do people need to know to take part in this nationwide pre-Thanksgiving Day demonstration? What instructions are you giving them?
Yeah, well, you know, first, as the TSA says, you know, when this first started, their reaction, well, every day is opt-out day, and that's true. Anytime you fly, you can opt out of the body scanners. Basically, when you go to an airport, it's not in every airport they would like to get there, and they probably will at some point, unless we can change this thing. But if you go to an airport, you're either going to go through and you'll go to the normal metal detector, you know, as we've been doing, you know, take your shoes off, your laptop out, the whole, you know, bit. Or you may get sent to a line that has a larger machine. You'll put your hands up like you're getting robbed, you know, and you know, assume the position. You stand there, and they'll have a sign, and they should let you know what you're going to. But you have the ability to not go through those machines, and I think there's enough questions about those machines that I am not comfortable going through them, and I'm not comfortable having my family go through them. So you have the option. If they want to send you to one of those virtual strip search naked body scanners, you can tell them, I opt out. It's very simple, just three words, I opt out, and go and get the enhanced pass down. And like I said, that's not going to be a pleasant experience, but, you know, in my opinion, it's, you know, maybe the lesser of two evils. It's a little bit more personal, but, you know, you got to take a stand at some point.
There was a hearing on Wednesday in which the head of the TSA said that this policy will continue. There is no contemplation of changing it after the objections even of people saying that they have been sexually intimately touched, or some assert that this verges on molestation. The TSA is standing hard on that policy. And there was also a statement on the other side from a Republican Representative Duncan saying that this is too far, too much. In Congress, legislators were saying that, well, this is a necessary thing for national security, and we ought to be in executive session while we're talking about this, and we have chatter, and we have intelligence. What is your response to those who defend this intrusive program on the basis of what they call security?
Yeah, you know, I understand TSA's mandate in trying to keep us safe. You know, they don't have a necessarily enviable position. I thought their attitude was a little bit cavalier. You know, this, you know, we are not going to change, or Napolitano on Monday coming out and saying, if you don't like it, drive, you know, which isn't really an option if you're going to Europe. It isn't really an option if you got to get across the country, you know, within a day. So, you know, I take offense to them being so, you know, not passive. They say, well, we're open to suggestion, but as you said, and during the hearings, TSA administrators come out and said, you know, we're not changing things. So, you know, the thing to remember now then is the only way to get this changed is to have Congress act and take some authority and oversight over the TSA. You saw it in the Senate hearing today. You had Senator DeMint get up talking about hundreds of phone calls, letters, and emails coming in protesting this gross invasion of privacy. You had another senator saying, you know, I wouldn't let my wife or my daughter through your procedures. So, you know, I think the outrage is there. It's starting attention, but I'm heartened to see that the message is getting through to some members of Congress. So my hope is that there will be some change. I don't know whether they'll be able to do it rapidly, but I would like to see some sort of change happen, and, you know, we'll see what that's going to entail.
In addition to the statement by Representative Duncan, I understand that there is some movement for legislation from Ron Paul.
Yeah, I just actually was reading about it within the past couple of hours that Representative Paul introduced the bill 6416, the American Traveler Dignity Act, and from my understanding, it's just real short, and it basically says that, you know, these airport screeners are not immune from the U.S. laws that you and I have to follow. So if you go and you grope somebody, you will be charged with it. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I think it certainly makes a statement. I don't know realistically whether that will gain any traction. I think you might see something pass like what has passed, I believe it was for it got wrapped up in a 2010 appropriations bill that basically said, you know, these whole body imaging scanners shouldn't be primary security screening. They should only be used after you send, you know, set off some bells and whistles, and then you go through it. So I think you'll likely see something more towards that effect. And for me, you know, that's certainly a reasonable compromise. I think it's a start. I think we still have more work to do, especially when you start then talking about the pat-downs. But, you know, there'll be something, I believe, that happens. I don't know how soon, but the flying public, I think, is just saying enough is enough.
Brian, you state an objection to the X-ray scanners that are very meticulous and precise in the imaging that basically strips away the clothing and provides highly explicit sexual and other organic features to the examiners. And I'm wondering, what is your objection to the thing that some say is security and others say is prurience verging on pornography?
Yeah, you know, you see in other countries, in the UK, where children under a certain age can't go through these machines because it violates child pornography laws. So there's, you know, anytime you start talking about children, it gets really uncomfortable. You saw the TSA at least have enough common sense to say, you know, children 12 and under, they're not going to go through those enhanced, aggressive pat-downs. Now, I don't know exactly what separates a 12-year-old girl from a 13-year-old girl, but at least, you know, they recognize there's enough outrage when you get into, you know, touching children or taking certain pictures of children that people really, really are uncomfortable with that. And, you know, if I hear anything, it's usually it's more of, you know, that people are very concerned about the children. We'll see what happens there, but I would like to think that they'll exercise judgment and maybe even take it a step further so it's not just, you know, 12 and under, because, like I said, I don't know where the line comes between 12, 13, 12, 14. I mean, you're not considered legal age, you know, for the most part until 18 in this country, so you know, we'll see. You know, but I think TSA recognizes there is enough backlash that they maybe have to make a couple minor tweaks like that. But the overall system, you know, from all intents and purposes, and what they say is they're not going to change it.
A word more about your website, optouttoday.com. The website contains instructions on how to travel with dignity, as well as links to kindred organizations like the Electronic Privacy Information Center and how to write to Congress and several other links. I'm curious, what has the level of reaction to your website been? How did this wildfire get started?
Well, you know, to be honest, I'm not even tracking hits. I'm sure it's popular, but I couldn't tell you any certain specifics. First time I've ever, you know, created a website, but I was, you know, upset enough that I felt some action needed to be taken.
Well, just like the government and the TSA, we'll be keeping our eyes on you as well. And we'll stay in touch as we follow up on this story. And I congratulate you for taking a step towards freedom for Americans and travelers around the world. And it's been an honor to have you on 5 O'Clock Shadow.
Well, thank you for having me here. And I just want to remind folks, if they want this system changed, they want to stop the degrading screening process, they need to voice their opinions. They're members of Congress. They're the only ones that are going to be able to get us out of this.
We commend to your attention a report from the U.S. Congress called A Decade Later, A Call for TSA Reform, the Transportation Security Administration, in which members of Congress say that billions of dollars have been spent on ineffective equipment, such as that which misidentifies features near a senator's knee, and they claim that the scanners are easily thwarted. Also, the EPIC, Electronic Privacy Information Center, has filed a lawsuit in federal appellate court saying that the TSA violated the law by deploying full body scanners at airports nationwide without soliciting public comment. That lawsuit is ongoing. Also, EPIC has joined with 30 other organizations to ask the Secretary of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano, to have an independent audit of the TSA to determine whether the TSA airport screeners engaged in racial profiling. More details on that issue in EPIC's Air Travel Privacy and EPIC Passenger Profiling Reports, available at EPIC, EPIC.org.
Away above the chimney tops, that's where you
Judy Garland, Over the Rainbow. If bluebirds fly, why, cannot I? And that concludes today's edition of 5 O'Clock Shadow with engineering by Michael G. Haskins. And we welcome your comments and leaks, tips, suggestions, and questions with an email to theshadow@wbai.org, theshadow@wbai.org. And for 5 O'Clock Shadow, I'm Robert Knight in New York.